This is the Jayhawker Podcast, presented by the University of Kansas Health System.
Happy springtime, another edition of the Jayhawker Podcast. I am Greg Gurley along with Wayne Simeon, talking a little football, a little NFL draft, a little scouting within Kansas football. Jayhawker Podcast brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System, Xfinity, and Black & Veatch. Morning, Big Dub.
What's up, bud? Man, really excited. NFL draft week, of course. Wanting to keep the dynasty going that's happening over there in Kansas City and Chiefs Kingdom. But even more exciting for those down the road west in the crimson and blue, as we've got some legitimate NFL draft prospects that are going to hear their name called. And so really exciting. We brought a special guest in to help us talk through that. Scouting coordinator Scott Aligo, who's going to be joining us here today, giving us the ins and outs of the NFL scouting process that takes place within Kansas football, because far more many things have to take place than just a name being called by a commissioner on draft day. There are tons of meetings, evaluations, scouting combines, numbers to be assessed, and we got a great team that helps with that on this side of things.
You scroll, tap, swipe, text, call, and do a lot more on your phone. None of us can fathom life without all the world's knowledge in our pocket. We use phones for just about everything. But when it comes to doing the bigger things, like streaming, gaming, and working, you shouldn't be limited to just your phone screen or mobile plan. You see, millions of Americans don't have home internet. They are forced to do everything on their phone or through their mobile service via a hotspot. Or they go to public spaces and use unsecure Wi-Fi, which can be problematic when dealing with personal or sensitive information. You deserve reliable home internet to fit your life and your budget. And right now, Internet Essentials Plus from Xfinity is free through the Affordable Connectivity Program. Get unlimited data and equipment included with no annual contract. Go to Xfinity.com/free to see if you qualify. Restrictions apply. After program participation ends, Comcast standard charges, taxes, and fees apply. May not be combined with other offers.
Well, let's welcome in Scott Aligo, Director of Scouting, Kansas Football. Morning.
Good morning. Appreciate you guys having me on.
So explain to the layman a little bit. You're the Director of Scouting within Kansas Football. Obviously, it's not just about the NFL draft. It's about finding the recruits, taking it up the ladder to the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, whoever. I like this kid, take a look at him, and it goes through the process. Obviously, in addition to that, some of your duties are, hey, helping with the NFL scouting, because whether it's basketball, football, baseball, whatever, our coaches want their players to go play professional sports, because that only helps your recruiting in getting the new kids. How many kids have you put into the NFL, so on and so forth. So give us a little bit of a rundown on your daily duties.
Well, I think we're kind of the first line of defense in the recruiting department. So we're there to kind of unearth players initially, kind of do that first phase before we can we give them to the coaches, then on up to Coach Iadello and to Coach Leipold. So really, we're the first line of defense. So we are kind of going through a daily process, finding prospects, finding their measurables, see if they fit our kind of our metrics, and then we kind of move them up the totem pole.
The language that you use, man, there, just the first line of defense, as, you know, a lot of people are obviously fully aware of Lance Leipold leading the Kansas football program. Then you got the coordinators up in the sky and the boxes that are dialing things up. There really is a whole army of a staff around Kansas football making that thing go. And before we dive too deep into the nuts and bolts of things, like, how good do you feel this week as someone that helped onboard some of these players into the program, and now you're getting a chance to see them experience full circle of potentially becoming the professional athletes that they've aspired to become, maybe even that we've helped them develop to become here up until this point?
Yeah, it's really kind of fulfilling to be able to kind of fulfill that promise that when they came on the campus for the first time, say, hey, we're going to be able to give you the maximum amount of exposure, help you through process of having the scouts come in, meet with them, educate them on that process, having them trust in us so that we're going to give them the right amount of information, then go through the process post in the off season of All-Star games, the comp to the pro days or combines, the pro days. And then now I'm getting to kind of come full circle this weekend and hear their name called. So yeah, it's some of the other processes I've been through, I haven't got to go through the whole process, but a lot of these guys, we got to kind of be at the beginning of the process with them. And now it's going to get to see the dream come true.
Our guest today on the Jagger podcast is Scott Aligo, in his fourth year here at Kansas football, came in with Coach Leipold from Michigan State. So no stranger to big time programs. And, you know, to piggyback a little bit on what Wayne said, how cool is it to be a part of the rebuild? And it's not just the rebuild on the field, but the rebuild on the field led us to what the rebuild of the stadium is going on right now. You guys are all displaced. You don't have your office anymore. Yes. You're having to do some stuff to eventually move into a palace here in about a year plus. But how exciting is it for you as a Kansan from Tonganoxie to be a part of the rebuild?
Leavenworth County, mind you. Leavenworth, you're on with two Leavenworth County guys. I just had to interrupt and let that be known.
That's dynamite drop in. I get it. Leavenworth has produced some of the finest Kansas athletics employees right here. But again, how about the rebuild and the rebirth of Kansas football?
I mean, I don't think there's been too many more things more fulfilling in my career getting to come back to my alma mater to do this. And I think going through the whole process of 2-10, 6-7, 9-4, I mean, it's been incredible. I mean, I think especially with the recruits in year two, of getting to see the stadium sold out 3 games in a row right before college game day. I mean, some of those experiences of kids unfortunately hadn't gotten to see some of that. And just to see the look on those guys' face. And selfishly, it's been like kind of my buddies who went to school with coming back more often now and just get to experience that game days wise. And now they're getting more and more text messages of planning trips in the fall. And my house has been used a lot for a lot of people, Airbnbs. I mean, it's just been really cool to just a lot more people coming back home. And like I said, just being able to do this around family, friends, alumni, and just my pride for Kansas unmatched, just like probably both of your guys is as well. And just being able to just be a small part of the process has just been really cool to have a front row seat with it, especially my wife and kids and all that stuff. It's just, yeah, there's a lot of things I can describe. It's not very speechless a lot of times, but it's been really cool to be a part of that process.
How about how much has you've been around college football a long time, and then there's, you know, the staffs have expanded so much with analysts and director of scoutings and all that stuff. I mean, we're having to rebuild the Anderson complex because the staff in 2008 was a certain size, and we probably added 30 people. We just don't have the space. So talk a little bit about how much college football with the personnel involved in it has changed and how many different people are ingrained in the process.
Yeah, it takes a village. It takes a big, big village. And I think the more with social media and people being able to contact these kids and earlier in the process, is if we're not talking to them, we're not sending them things, somebody else is. So we have to be able to consistently know about the player, consistently find out information about them, consistently communicate with them. Because if you aren't, there's a lot of people that will be. And we want to make sure they know the importance of what, how they can impact our program. But I think one of the biggest things I sell is go where you're needed, not where you're wanted. So like a lot of people want these kids, you'll get a lot of offers, but we try to show them how much they're needed here and be able to progress what we're doing. And the more we can do that, and again, the kids have changed. So they're very visually stimulated with graphics and with videos and stuff like that. So the more we can connect with them, then more personnel within the village can connect with them. It allows them to feel more comfortable with us, and knowing that when they get here, they have a village that's going to be able to support them.
And thinking a little bit more about the draft process, probably the most notable evaluation experience that the casual sports fan is familiar with is the combine. But you and I both know that the evaluation process happens well before the combine. You know, as we come to the occasional practice and, you know, we see NFL scouts on the sideline with the name back. Walk us through that process. What is that like in terms of what is a phone call like when they call you and say, hey, we would like to come to practice this week. We are interested in this player. What are the type of questions that they're asking about you? What is the process before the process?
Well, it starts essentially the day they get on campus their freshman year. We try to let them know that we will give them the max amount of exposure possible to be able to make them have a very, again, convicted evaluation. So really we have, it's called a college relations website. And really, essentially, you put in all of your scheduling practices, what time they start. They call it restrictions on, hey, maybe you can't come in on a certain day. Where I think Coach Leipold has been ahead of the curve is that we don't have any restrictions for the NFL scouts. So we want them to be able to have as many personnel from any team show up. We want them to be able to show up anytime, day or night, to be able to do that. And I'm kind of the steward of that. So I usually, a scout has to kind of put their schedule together in August for 4 months. So trying to put that piece together, the big puzzle piece together. And anyone who's traveled a lot, it's just a lot of moving pieces. So we try to be as flexible as possible for those guys because they're on the road for 200 days a year. I remember when I was with the Browns, like, I mean, you become a Marriott millionaire immediately. I think being able to just to be flexible with those scouts and really when they show up to your building, really be hospitable with them. And I always say it's our job to make them have a happy evaluation, not an angry one. So if they've been on the road for 2 or 3 weeks and they show up and things are organized, then it's not too much of a happy evaluation. So once we kind of put their schedule together, I really just say, hey, shoot me a text 24 hours prior to a visit. Let me know that you're coming. And really it's going through me. And then I inform the staff the night before that, hey, Browns, Giants, and Jets will be here tomorrow. So really once that kind of forms the staff. And then the game, when they show up to on a normal day, they usually get there. We're a morning practice team, so everything is done prior. So this is when the kind of organization comes in. So they're going to meet with multiple people within our organization. They're going to meet with myself. They're going to meet with our athletic trainer. They're going to meet with academics. They're going to meet with the strength coach, position coach, head coach. So being able to be efficient with that takes a lot of patience understanding from our staff as well, from the trainers and stuff. And really, I meet with them and we all come together and say, okay, when is the best time for you to meet? And then I kind of juggle the schedule around. So they'll get there pretty much at 6 a.m. Usually they'll bring Minsky's or Munchers donuts and or Hy-Vee muffins, which is a Coach Leipold favorite. So they'll usually bring that in. They will meet with me for a little while, then they'll start kind of their journey prior to practice. So they'll go down there and meet with the athletic trainer. They'll go through all that stuff. And then we will go through practice and then meet with the strength coach at practice and then academics post-practice. So we really try to make their visit. They get there at 6 o'clock. They're done by noon. And I've gotten more compliments on being able to be done by noon to be able to kind of get all their information instead of dragging it out throughout the day. So they can either get to their next stop, they can put in their information, So really it's a very detailed deal that, but our staff has been awesome and hospitable to me of like, hey, can you come down and meet? And they're taping ankles and do all that stuff. So Trent's been awesome with that. So I just think it takes a lot of people moving in a lot of different directions and helping out to make sure that visit is efficient.
So here we are at the end of April, early May. Spring football is over. A lot of moving parts going on. Take us through the next 2 or 3 months of your job when high school juniors that are about to be seniors, when they do their visits. We can't obviously mention any names, but there's always commitments and all kinds of stuff going on. And until they sign that national letter of intent, we can't talk about them. But talk about the process of when you recruit kids, when they show up for their official visit, and how all that plays out over the next few months.
Yeah, so the counter continues to move up on us every year. So like 2026s, I think, are going to be in June 15th or something like that. So you can start to contact them. But really once that period starts, like the 26s, it's kind of like full speed ahead. So it's you're really recruiting two classes at a time. We're finishing up the 25s and now getting ready for the 2026s. But the springtime is really for us to get those guys onto campus. We have kind of veered away from the big junior day, and we do more individualized visits to make it, again, kind of different from maybe some other schools, really make it a personal touch. Because really, once the 2026s are going to be able to, they're trying to kind of make decisions in January. So we'll see them in January, and then we can set their official visits for next summer. So currently for the 2025 class, we've gotten guys that come visit. We're going to go see them in spring, and then we will have a full slate of official visits for the 2025 class starting in June.
And Scott, I just continue to be fascinated by that draft process and your expertise there in that category. And, you know, this year was the first time that the Big 12 actually hosted its own combine, as we see our commissioner, Brett Yormark, thinking innovatively and out of the box yet again of trying to set the Big 12 apart in several different facets. Talk to us a little bit about that new experience, how it helped our players, and then also what it meant just industry-wide, again, as it being not only the first for the Big 12, but if I'm not mistaken, the first in college football in a conference putting something like that on.
Yeah, you know, Brett continues to be a maverick when it comes to different things he's trying to do. It's been kind of a two-year process. We've met with different people at the league office about this. It's trying to get people in my position just saying, hey, what's the pros and cons, and what do you guys want out of that scenario? And I think once the decision was to go forward with it, I think it's been very positive. They've been very open and ask a lot of questions about what would it take to take the pro day from off campus to an alternative site. And I think they've done a good job with it. All of our players got to participate in the pro day. And I think it's been a lot of positive feedback from it. And it allowed different NFL teams and different NFL personnel to evaluate all of our players.
In my mind's eye, I can imagine that that dynamic with the Big 12 combine creates a little bit more of a competitive environment as you think about the traditional on-campus one, where it's usually just guys from your school. That seems to be a little bit more warm, inviting, a little bit more familiar. But now you're combined with other guys who you lined up across the ball with, all right, in an environment where other scouts are watching. And to me, it just seems like the competitiveness would elevate in that type of environment. And maybe you would have guys perform at a higher level. Is that true, or am I mistaken in thinking that?
No, that's very true, because essentially you're comparing yourself to the guy next to you, right? And it may be at your own school, you're not going to have not as maybe many numbers in your same position, but at the Big 12 Combine, you're going to have top guys at your position. So you're going to have no choice but to elevate what you're doing. And it's going to make, again, we think where Brett's trying to make this more of a big time environment, just like the Combine, and really just highlight all the great things that the Big 12 has, and be able to continue to show the excellence of the Big 12. And I think this was a great way to start that process.
In what way do the bowl games / kind of all-star games, Senior Bowl opportunity, in what way do those play into the scouting and NFL, kind of combine and draft process? What type of weight and bearing are those games given in that process?
It's another, they sometimes scouts call it check in the box. And again, it's for a guy like Don Pooney, who continues to show his versatility, him being able to play center at the Senior Bowl. I've had multiple scouts call and say, hey, that's really where now he has five position value. And him being able to show that, okay, hey, I can go from left tackle to center and pick that up immediately. I think he was excited for that exposure, and being able to show off his skills and versatility with that, and really just kind of elevates his capacity of what he can bring to a team. And I think the more those scenarios, I always encourage those, because again, you're allowed to go there and show your stuff. And if you're good, you're good. Go in there and knock it out. And I think for a guy like Pooney, it really showed the versatility and his ability to really add value to an NFL roster, that it was more just like, I mean, they came in and asked us all the time, like, hey, do you play center? We're like, yes, he snaps all the time. But him to be able to be thrown into the fire in that kind of environment kind of verified everything that we've been kind of expressing to NFL teams throughout his 2 years here.
You know, I mentioned the fact that there's a lot of construction going on, obviously, Memorial Stadium. How excited are the players and the coaches and the entire support staff about, we'll keep it on an NFL theme, about playing four games at Arrowhead and a couple at Children's Mercy Park?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you can be in a stadium, back-to-back Super Bowl champs, I mean, it creates excitement. We were discussing today how we're going to have our recruits there for the fall, and all the cool things that we'll be able to show them about, again, the exposure that they can have with what we're doing. And I think anytime you can give an experience to a kid that is like no other from another school is always a positive. I think we're really, the more and more we're diving into it, I think the two games at Children's Mercy are going to be electric. And then obviously the four games at Arrowhead are going to go without saying, but we've been been planning on how we're going to really show it off to the recruits, and really the guys who have come here for spring visits have expressed how excited they are to be able to watch us play in those two stadiums.
Well, that's awesome. Our guest today has been Scott Aligo. And by the way, your beard and your hair look amazing today. I know that's a big part of the way you operate, and I just wanted to give you a little shout out there because it's fantastic.
Thank you very much.
I know you work really hard on it. Wayne, I think I speak for Wayne. Thanks. Wayne is a Leavenworth guy. You as a Tonganoxie / Leavenworth County guy. Just building this place up, right?
Yeah. Hey, I just remember the first time when I saw him play Xavier junior high school, I was like, this guy probably is going to go somewhere.
Did that convince you to stop playing basketball when you watched them in eighth grade?
And that was actually the pinnacle of my sad football career, was against the Tonganoxie Chieftains right there off 2440 Highway. And I barely survived the game and was excited that there was my favorite Sonic in all the state of Kansas right there across the street, Route 44s for everybody on that one.
What position did you play in football, Wayne?
I'm a Coach Aligo. What position do you think I played in?
I'll go with like defensive end.
Tight end.
Yeah. Both ends. Ends right there. Which I was totally okay with. As you're thinking about, you know, being a Chiefs guy, you know, Tony Gonzalez and Derek Thomas was a linebacker. Tracy Neil Simeon, Smith. Neil Smith. That was a Neil yeah. Smith. That was all kind of my little era. So I was totally fine with attempting those two positions on the gridiron, which did not last long, as that was my last football endeavor there at Tonganoxie.
I think you made the right decision. Yes. Southsider retired jersey, Tom Fieldhouse, probably not. All right. Hey, Scott, thank you for all you do. Thanks for coming on the show. Appreciate you, and Rock Chalk.
Appreciate you guys. Rock Chalk.
That was Scott Aligo, Director of Scouting for Kansas Football. And that's going to lead us right into a couple of interviews that took place just a couple of weeks ago to kind of piggyback on what Scott, Wayne, and I just talked about with the NFL draft upcoming. Dom Pooney and Austin Booker gave a couple of great interviews during the spring showcase, which was great. I went to it, and it was at out at Rock Chalk Park, and a great crowd. And the days of like spring games with like a clock and all that, like they kind of did that a little bit, but I kind of like the way they did it. I think the fans really enjoyed it, much closer feel. And obviously we couldn't play it in Memorial Stadium, but a really good atmosphere, and caught up with Dom Pooney and Austin Booker.
He steps up, he's tripped up, and he spikes it down to the ground. Kansas has it one way or the other. It was Austin Booker, who's been a menace on that defensive line, with the stop.
The offensive line, a very experienced group up front, doing the job here tonight.
You can see and feel that offensive line taking charge.
So I ended up transferring in for my junior year, started at left guard. And then after that season, had a pretty good season. You know, we went to a bowl game, kind of completed a lot of goals that we wanted to do. And I just thought it was pretty cool, my first year in Power 5 football, being able to kind of get the program going at Kansas, the first year, my first year that I was there. And the second year, just continuing the momentum for me to move out to left tackle. And it just kind of showcases like how willing those coaches are to move me around and move players around to their best fit. And, you know, we had a great season, 9-4, another bowl game victory. And, you know, I just couldn't ask for anything more out of what I got from Kansas and the coaches. Just the versatility aspect that's helped me a lot, and then letting me play center in the spring just helped me play all five positions. So, you know, my journey at Kansas was great. I'm super grateful for Coach Leibold, Coach Fuchs, Coach Sleeve, and the whole staff.
Now joined by first team All Big 12 defensive end Austin Booker. This time last year, there wasn't a lot of people that knew your name. Talk about the transformation from when you got here to what you became that fall season.
Yeah, man. We had a great off season. We got way bigger, way faster, way stronger. Everybody can see by the record we had. So just being able to go to the next level and then coming back to see everything full circle has just been a great opportunity. So.
Now, this program has run very clean, a lot of resources. How has that helped you prepare for this NFL journey, trying to get into the, you know, make yourself appealing to the right team through your agency?
Yeah, I mean, I've had great support, and also every time the coaches reach out, it's always a great thing. So it's been a great resource to have everybody in the staff to help me out. So
now, as you watch these guys here, and you watch, you know, some of the that were young guys now when you got here are now vets and looking over the young fellas, what's it like for you to kind of be the OG and come back and enjoy some of the spring action?
No, it's great to be able to just feed into how they play now and be able to coach them up and teach them things that even I wanted to know back then. So just being able to be a resource for them now is a great opportunity.
That's Austin Booker. You will see him on Sundays. Check him out.
What awesome opportunity there to hear from our two draft prospects, Don Pooney and Austin Booker, who are actually two of my favorite stories from the Kansas football team, as you think of individually, with Don Pooney starting at the Division II level, maybe a little bit of a late bloomer coming out of high school, but then blossoming into a top performer in the trenches for the Jayhawks. And then you think about Austin Booker and the type of season that he had there on the defensive side of the football. And you think about the shoes that he had to fill with Lonnie Phelps, who transitioned on to the NFL, who was our dynamic defensive player, quick twitch guy on the edge, and Austin Booker rising to the challenge and filling those shoes, becoming a threat at all times on the defensive side of the football for the Jayhawks. And so really cool stories to see those guys step up, and you got to be so glad and encouraged that their football careers won't just finish in crimson and blue uniforms, but will continue to be able to be played on Sundays.
You know, and I think what's cool in this day and age of the transfer portal, we talk about all the bad things that guys can just leave and come and go as they want. But here's an example of two guys that didn't start out at Kansas, but now they're Kansas Jayhawks. Division II guys way back in the day didn't ever really make that jump, even if they got a ton better, like Don Pooney. And so the transfer portal has provided guys like that a quick ability to just say, all right, I'm going to navigate the landscape of college football, and it looks like Kansas is a good fit. They're now NFL prospects. And again, our fan base gets frustrated with it. Well, we don't get to know the guys. They're not here for 4, 5, 6 years. You're just going to have to accept it and look at these two stories amongst many others that are positive.
Yeah, well said. Well said.
Well, that'll do it for the Jayhawker podcast, brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System, Xfinity, and Black & Veatch. Our guest was Scott Aligo. Interviews from Don Pooney and Austin Booker. More football. Great. Kansas of football. Kansas as a football school, things are happening. Guys are going to the draft. The coaches can use that to talk about to the next Austin Booker and the next Don Pooney and Kobe Bryant, whatever. So great stories, a lot of positives to highlight. Scott Aligo doing a great job with the NFL scouting help. And then obviously most important, finding those diamonds in the rough and however you're going to find them, taking it up the chain to eventually get to Lance Leipold and say, yes, we're going to get this kid. And in the coming months, we're going to be able to talk more about commitments that are actually signed and that are coming. We can't talk about them now. We know there are several, but right now those are just verbal. So looking forward to the next couple months of Kansas football, Kansas basketball, all Kansas sports. You can hear all about it here on the Jayhawker podcast. Greg Gurley, Wayne Simeon, Rock Chop.